Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
Do you like science?
It's a mystery.
And this is Stranger Still.
Does that work?
I don't know.
Welcome, everyone.
To Stranger Still.
It's a mystery why I can't talk today. To Stranger Still, it's a podcast where we
answer the questions that you never thought to ask.
I thought it was that we never questioned to
ask. That's a mouthful. We have improved our speaking abilities.
Beep, borp, 2.0.
We have improved our motto,
uh-huh.
Our quote, our slogan, all of those things, which are the same thing.
It's just synonyms.
Answering the questions that you never thought to ask.
John, I bought a really bad thesaurus the other day. Not only is it awful, it's also awful.
And I'm John Vegan.
And I'm Nick Wood. We haven't done like a list in a long time. I think the last one we did was the conspiracy theories one, right?
Wow, yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was a two-parter. I don't think this one will be a two-parter, but we're going to do the top 10 scientific mysteries as chosen by Nick Wood.
Yeah.
In no particular order.
Yeah.
And I went through a lot of them, but a lot of them were really hard to explain.
What order are they in?
No particular.
Is it a mystery?
It's a mystery.
Yeah, I fed you that one.
Yeah.
You kind of just dribbled it all over your mouth.
Yeah, I'm no Michael Jordan.
Yep.
I can't get those alley-oops.
Right into the basket.
Is that what?
That's what he
is
does.
That the sound that Michael Jordan makes.
He goes dribble. Whoop-a-doo.
That's why he had to retire. People were sick of him just making random noises running across the basketball court.
Well, he had that cartoon strength.
Uh-huh.
He trained in that one movie.
Yeah.
What were we talking about again?
It's 10 scientific mysteries, and I'm excited about this because this episode has everything. Name something.
Physics?
Yes.
The moon?
Yes.
Anatomy?
Yes.
No. Biology?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a pretty big topic.
You said anatomy already.
Okay.
It's kind of the same thing.
That's fine. Questions that had no answers.
Yes, that's what it means. So, like I said, there's no particular order, and there's a bunch of unexplained things out there in the universe. Who'd have thunk? Like, us dumb humans don't have answers for everything. You can get a man on the moon, but we don't know why.
We don't know the name of the guy that lives in it, you know?
Martin, the Martian. That's from Mars, though.
That's like almost copyright infringement.
Martin the Moonshin. Moonanites. What's it from Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Is it the Moonanites. Yeah. Now it is copyright infringement. Great show.
I always love the scene where they're trying to get rid of Shake, so they put like a $20 bill on the outside of the ship. Like, oh, look at all the money outside, it's going to attack us. He's like, I got it, I'll save you from the money. He's like, yes, save me from all the monies. I don't have much else to say other than a lot of these were inspired by countdowns from IFL Science, which stands for I Fudgin' Love Science.
Yep.
They had to
almost
go listen to our censorship episode. Got it from sciencenews.com and cooltechlists.com, which that site kind of sucked. But I gathered most of my other information on reliable sources and kind of just got inspired from these places. So without further ado, would you like to count me down?
Number 10.
They're not in any orders.
Number 7.
Number 7 is, why do we have fingerprints? You ever think about that? Like, I mean, it's good for unlocking my iPhone, but
I can't think of any other reason.
Right. There's literally no reason.
And even then, you could still do the
what?
Oh, nothing. I was gonna say you could still do the password anyway, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but according to a couple resources, we used to think that evolution gave us fingerprints to make it easier to pick up dry objects. And then I thought about like picking up wet objects, and I think if I remember correctly, that's why our hands get pruny, so we can pick up wet objects easier.
That's pretty cool.
That's not on here. We already discovered that one. But the idea of picking up dry objects was disproven, and we don't have any theories as to why we have fingerprints yet. It's really weird.
That's something that you think that everybody would have figured out.
Yeah. Well, that's what the point of this list is.
Yeah.
So.
Which makes it the perfect number 7.
Yep, number 7. All right.
We also have tongue prints, in the unique tongue prints.
Yeah, and cats have, like, paw prints, but, like, they're unique, right? I think so. Some dude set his iPhone to unlock to his cat's paw print.
That's pretty sweet.
People also set their iPhones unlocked from their nipples.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't, that'd be really frustrating. Like,
you're at a red
hey,
light.
Hey, I gotta text your mom. Can you unlock your phone? Yeah, hang on.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, no, I got it. What's number three, Nick?
Number three is, oh my god, this actually is probably my favorite one on this entire list. So it is a good number three. The question is, what is antimatter, and why is there less of it in the universe than matter? Anyway, we know what matter is, right? You know what matter is.
Yeah, everything.
It is everything. It's a collection of atoms, which is a collection of electrons orbiting a collection of protons and neutrons
mm-hmm.
in different configurations to make different atoms, to make different things. Now imagine, if you will, the exact opposite of that.
Nothing.
I mean,
less
it's still
than nothing. A vacuum.
I mean, it's still a thing, though.
Okay, great. This is really easy to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm totally with you.
Yep.
I'm not lying.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Let me look down at my toes real fast where my phone definitely is not that I'm Googling. Just
yep.
kidding. What do you think it is?
It's less than nothing. It's the opposite of matter. It sucks matter up. It's like a little vacuum.
You're not wrong, almost. So, antimatter has the same composition as an atom. So instead of electrons, so electrons in a normal atom have a negative charge. On antimatter, they are positively charged, and they're called positrons. And they have a positive charge, as you might guess. And then in the protons in regular matter have positive charges, whereas in antimatter have
a negative charge.
There you go!
Yeah.
Can you guess what they're called?
Neutrinos?
Not something else.
Negatrons.
I wish. They're called antiprotons. It's so uncreative.
Good job.
Good job. Let's give it a better name. I like negatrinos or whatever you called them.
Neutrinos are real. Those are a different
thing.
No,
what was the other thing you said?
Oh, negatrons.
Negatrons.
Sounds like Megatron. It's fun.
I know. And neutrons are
trons that are pretty new.
Well, they're neutrally charged in an atom. And in antimatter, they are
neutrally charged.
Yeah, they're the exact same. So what we do know is that by all accounts, after the Big Bang, if you choose to believe in that, which on the show we do, after everything cooled down, matter and antimatter were created in equal amounts, because physics loves symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
The peculiar thing is that when matter and antimatter meet up, they cancel each other out. So like you said, they suck each other up. I don't know. They just kind of disappear.
Yeah. On a quantum level, right?
From existence. I don't know. I don't know exactly what happens. They're just like, bleep, bloop, bloop.
Yeah. And there's also theories that they go into a different dimension.
That's also possible.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with them canceling each other out is that it makes it really hard for us to observe on Earth until we had like the Large Hadron Collider. We've been able to make them on Earth before, but we can't keep them for more than a couple nanoseconds. But we can see them out in space. Now, knowing that they cancel each other out when they meet, you would think if equal amounts were created after the Big Bang, if they cancel each other out evenly, we'd have the same amount of matter as we do antimatter. Which, that doesn't seem to be the case as far as we've been able to observe over the last 70 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Since we've had technology that we can use to look at antimatter. Right now, the leading theory seems to be that there was simply more matter created at the Big Bang than antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, physics love symmetry, so we have the mystery is, why is there this big asymmetry?
Asymmetrical existence of everything.
Yes.
That's why is there more stuff than not stuff?
Yeah. Another theory is that there could be galaxies out there full of antimatter and we just can't see it, but that's pretty unlikely. And I know you don't like him, but Logan Whitehurst made a really great song about CP Violation, which I think I'll put a clip in here of it because I don't know who has the rights to the song, and I even, like, a long time ago reached out to the people that put out his latest CD to see, like, who has the rights to these, and I never got a response. So we're going to put a little clip in here. And
we're going to find out one way or another.
Yeah, if we get a copyright claim, then we'll find out who has the rights to Logan Whitehurst's music.
When you have particles decaying, you should have just as much matter created as antimatter, antimatter being the opposite of matter. Well, the antiparticle usually does the exact opposite of what the particle does, you see, so its position and charge will be opposite, thus the law of CP symmetry. But matter and antimatter would have to be created in equal amounts, right? Cancel each other out, conservation of matter can't create stuff out of thin air, right? Right, okay. But just look around here. What have you got? Matter. Whole buckets full of the crap. Where's the antimatter? It's not here. Pretty much the only place we can see it is when we make it ourselves by smashing particles up in proton colliders. That's funny. There should be just as much antimatter as there is matter. But we don't know for sure if there are whole galaxies of this stuff floating out there farther than we can see, but it's pretty unlikely. So where's the fundamental asymmetry? Judge conjugation, parity violation, a mystery to all involved. It might explain asymmetry and help us all begin to see just how this crazy universe evolved the way it did. Does that answer your question? No. Well, it's all theoretical.
So antimatter, it's fun, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, or is it anti-fun?
Well, that's number two, Nick.
Number two is, why does gravity work? We know how it works pretty extensively. Like, if you have a quandary about anything, there's usually an equation to explain it to you. Like, complicated springs have equations for how they work. And bouncy balls have equations for how much bounce they retain. And IFL Science pointed out that on an atomic level, the forces that keep the pieces of an atom together are different than gravity even there. So it's not gravity that's keeping the electrons in orbit to the protons and neutrons, and it's so messed up. So why do they get to play it by different rules?
So what's the theory?
There's not a lot. Some people say that it might just be similar to electromagnetism, where particles have different charges, and then it just, I guess, pulls it toward it. Some say that it's caused by maybe a particle that we can't observe yet, which seems highly unlikely, unless it's like hiding in another dimension that we can't see or something like that. And most people will point to Einstein's theory of relativity, that gravity is a bending of space-time. I can't wrap my head around that.
That it's because bending everything into itself?
Yeah, just imagine space-time as a plane, and then it's getting bent. That's gravity, apparently.
There's probably a little bit more to it than that.
No.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
That's it.
A plane.
Yep.
What airlines?
What?
JetBlue?
Yep.
They're okay.
Fly Legionnaire.
Okay.
So basically, a big giant slap to the face of Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Also, it would be nice to know, because we kind of live on an Earth that requires gravity.
Yeah. If we didn't have gravity, it'd be like Inception.
And it'd be really hard to digest food.
Yeah. Probably get a lot of heartburn.
What's number two, Nick?
We already did number two.
What's number one, Nick?
That's a lot of pressure. Well, I think this might be fitting. You've done pretty well so far, so one kind of existential one is there life out there?
I could put a really cool sound effect there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll think about it. Yeah. I'll just put that.
So I don't have a lot to say about this one. It kind of speaks for itself, but some statistics for you.
Okay.
We can quantify this. So consider this. The chances that we are alone in the universe is 1 in 60 billion. Billion.
How is that calculated?
There's like this, once again, there's an equation for it. Like, there's this many galaxies with this many stars with this many planets orbiting it, and these planets orbiting that star meet conditions that are similar to Earth, and there's a chance that they would have life on them.
That sounds fair.
Yeah. It's called the Drake equation, if you want to go look it up and learn some more ins and outs of it. To put that in perspective, the chances of winning the lottery are somewhere around 1 in 175 million. So the chances that we are alone in the universe is like 400 times less likely than winning the lottery.
Yep.
And that happens all the time. It happens like every few years, right? I don't know.
So I think that like one of the biggest misconceptions with life outside of our Earth are the science fiction fueled notions of what life is.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of opened my eyes to it were like just listening to like people like Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about that we are carbon-based, and there can be universes that are crystal-based. Mm-hmm. There could be life forms that are just some other matter that we haven't seen near us. It doesn't have to be humanoids, although there probably are things like that exist, but it could be like a planet of insects.
Yeah.
Or like early starts, like we had.
Yeah, we had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Primordial goo, whatever it was. That's another thing that I didn't put on this list, but a lot of websites, one of the most unexplained mysteries was, where did life come from?
Yeah, I think my favorite theory for that is a comet. Mm-hmm. That a comet hit Earth and had some junk on it, and that junk kind of like multiplied, and then that evolved over time.
It's nuts. It's hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah, it easily becomes dismissible as, as gibbledygook. Because it's just so unimaginable.
You can't put anything to it. You can't put science to it.
Also, as far as we've evolved, there's so much garbage out there that people just make up.
Yep.
That when you get to the real stuff that's unattainable, it kind of sounds fake. Mm-hmm. Because beyond that, our human minds can only comprehend so much too.
Yeah. But speaking of science fiction, sci-fi writer Arthur C. Clarke once said, I don't usually say that I like quotes, but this is one of my favorites, which is that two possibilities exist. Either we are alone in the universe, or we are not. Both are equally terrifying.
Yeah.
It puts it in perspective. Like, as soon as I thought of that, I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, do you believe in aliens?
Glump 2016.
Yeah.
Make gobbledygook gloop again.
What's all the right. next one? What's the next one, John? I don't have a follow-up to that. This is too perfect. Can we make, like, a bumper sticker and print them out?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, we should do a contest.
This is how people make t-shirts, right? This is how t-shirts are made on podcasts. You say some stupid stuff, and then people go, oh, that was funny.
Here's what we're going to do. You share this episode on Twitter or Facebook or anything with a friend, and you tag us in it. So if you do it verbally, then you gotta go to the park and say, like, come on, play tag. Tag you're it. Also, go listen to this episode of Stranger Still. You share it and tag us in it. You'll get put in a drawing for a Glump 2016 bumper sticker.
Okay.
Now remind me in a week to do that.
Deal.
Entries in by, let's see, hang on, let me pull my calendar. March 29th.
Okay.
And then we'll have our winners by April 1st.
That's fair
and
enough.
It won't be an April Fool's joke, I promise.
It'll be real.
What's our next one, John?
Yeah, that. That to you.
What's
our next? Oh, four.
The moon illusion. You ever notice that the moon...
Yes, not real. Nobody can prove it.
What's the next one, John?
Number four again, but the real one.
So have you ever noticed that the moon looks really, really big sometimes, and then other times it looks really, really small?
Yeah, I'm a human on Earth.
If you ever look at the moon on the horizon, usually it will look significantly bigger than when it's in the middle of the sky, late at night or whatever. Most people say that it's because when the moon is lower, it's closer to the skyline, you have more objects to compare it to, and it looks bigger, because that's really close to you. Like, mm-hmm. That building over there is only, like, 3 miles away, so it makes the moon look bigger by comparison. It's basically an optical illusion.
Okay.
And then when it gets up in the middle of the sky, there's nothing to compare it to other than stars, which are very, 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 very far away. And so comparing it to those makes it look very small.
Right.
The other idea is that our viewing angle from where we are on Earth, looking at the horizon, the atmosphere will, like,
bend it, yep,
and magnify it, and it makes the moon look bigger just based on the angle that we're at.
That second one,
mm-hmm,
sounds like fact to me.
I think that's more plausible.
Because you will see the moon before you're supposed to be able to because of the curvature of the Earth. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why it wouldn't magnify it.
Yeah. So the thing that, because I always thought that it was the optical illusion. I had never heard the other one before.
Yeah.
So I would always, like, hold my hand up and block the horizon to see if it looked smaller or not. And I never did. So I'm wondering. I'll have to try that again.
I wish that I had the ability to do that in a flatter area. Because I used to do that because I lived on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And the ocean's pretty flat for the most part.
There's not a lot to compare it to. There's no...
There's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's there or it's not. And the sun could be on the other side of the Earth where you shouldn't be able to see it.
The Earth?
Bends around.
Yeah.
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Atmosphere's weird. That's all I got about the moon. What's the next one, John?
Number eight?
Eight is plate tectonics. You know what those are.
Yeah.
Logan Whitehurst also sang a song about plate tectonics.
Yeah. I think he's fine. Like, I just don't listen to him.
I don't like that song of his.
Why do you hate him, though?
So plate tectonics, you know,
mm-hmm,
what those are.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Like that, right?
Yeah. I'm not trying to say we don't know how plate tectonics work. We just don't know how they work. So we know that there are lines on the Earth, and sometimes lava will come up between those lines, and then the lava will cool, and when things cool, they expand. Unless it's ice for some reason. It's because the crystal forms. But I'm getting off topic here.
Because what are you crazy?
As things cool, they expand. And as the lava that comes up through these cracks expands, it pushes these plates further away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But the real question is, how do they work, John? Over to you.
Right back to you, Nick. Thanks.
So.
What a guy.
The thing that we don't know is, one, why do the tectonic plates even exist? Why are they here to begin with? Like, the moon doesn't, as far as we know, have tectonic plates,
mm-hmm,
and there's no landforms that would be covering them up, so I think we'd be able to easily see them. And two, what's going on underneath the Earth's crust to start such events? Like, what is causing this lava to come up and just be like, hey, guys, I'm here to chill out with you? and make some islands. Like, what?
Well, how about you, spicy? Well, let me tell you what.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I know about, it's crusts. Uh-huh. Okay.
Go on.
All right, so you got the earth, right?
Yep.
It's like imagine like a big bowl of dough, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So this dough, imagine it like floating in space, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now imagine the dough is going to be made into a pizza eventually, right?
Yep.
But imagine it's not for a second, okay? You follow me?
Yeah, I'm with you. All
right. Now imagine this pizza dough is the earth, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
It's in space. Now imagine it's cracked a bunch and the pizza dough inside, the pizza sauce is in it, like a little pizza pocket, right?
Oh, okay.
And it bursts out like a hot pocket in the microwave, right?
Yeah. I'm
okay. With you. Now imagine it's the earth, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what it is.
So are you saying that eventually the earth will be pizza-shaped?
If it gets close enough to the microwave sun. No, 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 no. It's not even funny.
Maybe we should do an episode on that because I don't know where people get these crazy ideas.
I think it comes from mistrust because our social media environment, it's oversaturated. People used to read a book and be like, okay, that's the truth. And what my friend Bob says about the cornfields today, and there's going to be rain,
uh-huh.
that's spectacle.
Yeah.
You know?
Spectacle.
That's speculation.
That's the right word.
Spectaculation.
Takes me a while to get there.
Right. But nowadays, hey, look at this article I found. It's true.
Yeah.
And that spreads and spreads and spreads, and people are like, I don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
So they go into the forum and they say, hey, man, it's all a lie.
Yeah.
Aliens. Flat Earth. Lizard people.
Hollow Earth.
Alex Jones. Yeah.
Make up a conspiracy theory right now.
Okay. Did you know
that
trees can hear you?
Really?
Yeah. It's proven. It's fact.
Huh. Is that why they go underground?
That's part of why they go underground, because you can pick up lower vibrations and lower frequencies
at lower levels. Yeah, and you can have
wires under there. Right. So you get like, there's earthquakes that are always happening around the world, and they have a very, very low frequency and sound.
Yeah.
So what they do is they pick up the vibrations through their roots, mm-hmm. and that's how they like translate that. It's kind of like echosonic location. So they bounce those vibrations off of their leaves onto people and back in, and they can hear you. Now, the government has a way to turn these vibrations, because sound is nothing but vibrations.
Right.
So if a tree is giving that vibration off, you can translate it into actual audio. When you turn that back, that's another trick for the NSA and the deep state government to steal our secrets.
And turning microwaves into camera. Next one.
Number 10.
I'm going to have trouble saying this one. It is the Antikythera mechanism.
Yeah, the Antikythera mechanism.
Sorry, I couldn't say mechanism very well. Wow. No. My word just vomited my mouth. Yep. The Antikythera mechanism. Do you know what that is?
It's when an antique has a theory. There's a theory about an antique and how it mechanically works.
Show?
Right.
And they're like, that spatula's worth $2, man. I don't know what to do.
It's rusted. Sparks are shut.
I can't use it.
Yeah. Why did you even come here?
Go home. So back in...
You have a kid.
Your wife is calling.
You drove 4 hours to come here. Call your wife.
Why do you live in Alaska and you came to Arkansas? So back in 1900, this little complex box of gears was discovered off the coast of Greece. And if you want to Google it, it's spelled Antikythera. It was found off the island of the same name, Antikythera. Using carbon dating, we know that it's about 2,000 years old. It probably came around 200 BC. And the mystery used to be, what was it used for? And we thought for a long time that it was some sort of computer that only served one purpose, so it was a very primitive computer, but we couldn't figure out what it was computing. Those theories were right, because recently, like super recently, we discovered that it was used to calculate the position of stars in the sky, like in the future. So you could say, at this time, this date, this far in the future, Leo will be here, and Orion's belt will be here, or whatever. The crazy thing now, though, the mystery that still remains, is that why was there nothing like this up until this point? Like, I think there were a few prototypes, but there was nothing leading up to this, like, a big, massive discovery. Like, I mean, as a modern civilization, we had to go, like, Apple I, Apple II, Microsoft, iPhones.
Yeah.
So.
Can I tell you my theory?
Yeah.
Can you explain what Occam's Razor is first for me?
Oh, hang on. So nothing existed before it, and then there wasn't anything like it for another 2,000 years when we finally invented modern computers.
All right. Wow.
But, like, even with the punch cards, like, that's super simple, and it was used to do one thing, which was simple math, and those took up rooms, and this was this tiny, tiny little box.
Yeah.
So what's your theory?
I think my theory holds up as We have human brains that like need to finish things. That's why we love mysteries so much. Yeah, like teasing our brains. So for me, by the way that my brain kind of fills the gaps in on this, I always like to think about all the history that exists that was not recorded. Mm-hmm. And I think the more to the story to this one could be that someone was in power. Mm-hmm. Someone had a lot of free time to be able to create things, right? And at that same time, this person contained a lot of intelligence. So there's a theory that more people should exist and people should have more babies so that you have more potential to have geniuses, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of silly, but if that's the way that the odds work, then whatever. If there was a person that was a genius that was also in power, that was protected, and they had other people doing things for them and gave them more free time to study these things, and you got nothing to do because it's like a million years ago,
why not come up with
something like this? You still have the same access to raw materials, right?
Yeah.
So I think that that's why they created this. And if someone like that did have power, and especially if it had to do with the sky, and they could say, I can tell you where this is going to happen, mm-hmm. it makes them like a god, right? Yeah. So people are going to trust them. If they have that power and they have the ability to be like a god, they can not share it, and they can make people destroy any other competition.
Yeah.
So he can say, okay, anyone that has a thing that's like this is a false idol or a false god, mm-hmm. kill them. Because everything worked around religion that way for things we couldn't explain, right? After that, people don't like someone that's in power, so they go gang up and they kill that person.
Yeah.
Once that's done, he was the one person that knew how to build that thing, so they kind of started from scratch.
Well, not only that, but as soon as, like back then, when you overthrow a ruler, you get rid of everything that they ever had.
Yep.
Like they never existed in your mind. Or they're like really good.
Or you bury it and it's discovered 5,000 years later.
You throw it off the coast of that island that I talked about. you reminded me of my theory on why Ancient Aliens is the worst show ever.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched like a full episode of that?
No.
Because anytime I need to laugh, like I'll just turn it on because it's like always on History Channel. Like they have nothing else to show other than Pawn Stars. But every episode goes the same. It's, look at this weird structure that ancient civilization made. It lines up to the stars perfectly. Look, we overlaid some stars over this formation that they made, and how could they do that? It's crazy. They didn't have computers or telescopes or anything. Back then, they didn't have lights. So the sky was like super bright, and all the stars were super bright, and they also didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
They're just like, what are you going to do today? Well, I guess I'm just going to look at the stars because, you know, TV hasn't been invented yet, and I'm still waiting on that iPhone.
Don't get the assets. It's the same as the Six. I mean, in the future.
Don't give Apple your thumbprints. The NSA is watching you.
Yeah, let's build these pyramids to protect our brains.
I'm good with that. Oh, my God, dude. One thing that we can't put on this episode is the pyramids.
Yeah.
Because, like, how were they invented without wheels or whatever? We figured it out super recently as well.
Ramps?
So maybe I'll save that as a teaser.
Ooh.
It was ramps.
Oh.
Never mind.
Okay.
So here's a mid-episode teaser. Basically, they would build them from the inside out. They'd build, like, a system of ramps on the inside and put all the stuff and build the ramp up as they went up in the pyramid.
Yeah.
The end.
And the way that was discovered is they found a ramp.
Yeah.
It actually becomes part of the pyramid when you're done.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of why it was hard to discover is because it's part of the pyramid.
Yep.
But that's all I got. What's next?
I don't know. What number is that?
I think 9 and 5, maybe.
All right.
6? How many do I have left? That would account for the ones I have left.
Okay, 9.
9. How/why do animals migrate? You're the animal expert. You tell me.
Because it's like real cold and they want to be warm.
And they want to be warm. So this kind of goes along with how courier pigeons work, which is that we know that animals have impeccable sense of direction. And when the seasons change, their instincts tell them, oh, it's getting cold, man. We got to go south.
Yeah.
So that's not hard to...
Hey, pigeon, which way is to the target? Oh, northwest or I?
But as to how they know which way is like south or north... Or how they know where to stop. Like, hey, it's Florida now. We can stop here. Because, like, the loons in Minnesota will go down to, like, Mexico and just, like, stop there. They won't go any further than that.
Yeah.
So how they do that, we don't know. And some think that animals can tap into the magnetic force of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can use the North Pole to say, that way's north. And the rest of the ways are not north. So don't go towards north.
I want
to
know more signs about that, but... I think up to this point, that's what I've believed.
That they tap into the magnetic stuff?
Yes.
Yep. Some animals actually do, and we know that. But I remember listening, I think it was Stuff You Should Know, they talked about the courier pigeon, and we don't think that was the case with them. Because you can put them in a cage, and you can cover their head, and you can transport them super far away, and they'll still know how to get back to their destination.
Yeah, so I wonder
with no explanation.
Okay, why can't that still be magnets? If you feel always in this area a strong sense of magnetic pull.
But how do you know how to get back to that area to feel that pull?
Because I think that no matter where you are on Earth, they know they can feel it. And it's either really strong or really weak. But it's who possible. Knows? I think that's
weird.
That's one option. It's just like we only have 5 or 6 or 7 senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the others?
Well, no, that's a myth too, is that we have 5 senses, but that's stupid because we have a sense of time. We have a sense of danger. We have a sense of, like, we have all these different senses that no one ever talks about.
That's what, okay. So that's why I said 5, 6, or 7.
Like,
yeah.
We have.
Balance was never included in that.
I know. No, no, no. Sorry.
That's the easiest.
The ones that they always point to is touch, taste, smell, listening, and the other one.
Sight?
Sight. The one that I'm using to look at. Right.
No, but I'm saying is, I think it's ridiculous that balance was never included in things like that.
It's because
we have many.
Teachers tell you dumb stuff.
We have many, many senses.
Yeah.
One of them may not be magnetism.
Yeah, that's very true.
Which
that's
is proven, which is proven to exist in birds. So
yeah. But even if they do use magnets, how did the evolutionary process get to the point where we could tap into magnetic forces as animals?
Yeah.
Can you imagine just being like, that way's north?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. That's all I got for aminals. What's next?
Number five.
Why do we sleep?
I think I've got this one.
Go for it.
Am I going to ruin it for you?
I don't know.
Okay. I think that we build up a lot of junk all the time,
mm-hmm.
and our brain cleans it.
Yeah.
Cleans all that junk out at night.
So that is one of the theories, is that we get, like,
junk in between our synapses.
In our synapses and our myelin sheath and stuff, and it just builds up there, and sleeping can clean some of that away.
Mm-hmm.
That's also where they think that, which this is where I don't understand. They think that that might cause Alzheimer's in some cases.
It prevents Alzheimer's by sleep. If you have a,
well, the other thing that I've heard is if you sleep too much, then you can be at risk for Alzheimer's and dementia.
I've not heard that.
Shelby told me that, which I guess I don't have a source for. That's just, okay. Then maybe it's not true.
Okay.
Maybe I'll have to research it for another episode, but, we do know that, bad things happen to your body, not just your brain. Bad things happen to your body when you don't sleep. Like, your immune system can start having issues. You can have heart problems. With your brain, you can start having visual and auditory hallucinations. It's just really bad for you if you stay up for a long time. And maybe that has something to do with the gunk buildup in your brain. But as far as I know, we don't have any studies to prove that this stuff builds up and makes your brain all crusty. And the other interesting thing, though, is that when you look at some creatures like ants, they don't sleep at all.
What?
Yeah, they can go into, like, a resting state, but they don't need to sleep.
Man, ants are like little Buddhas.
Yeah. And one other theory that I read was that animals that have a real threat from predators will sleep. Because
yeah.
Ants aren't the only ones that don't sleep, and they don't have like a huge predator other than anteaters or something, or water. So it's just weird. There's ants aren't the only ones, but there are other creatures out there that don't sleep, and it's really weird to look at them. And there's plenty of other theories like the cleaning, and some people think that sleeping and dreaming is a way for your brain to categorize itself, like forming memories and recounting the events from the day and experiences so that you can learn. That's a really solid theory, because if studies have shown if you learn something and you don't sleep or you have interrupted sleep, you have trouble retaining it the next day. Because if you get a good night's sleep,
yeah,
you have a much better chance to retain it.
Yeah, I think another thing that I learned when I grew up
mm-hmm.
was how much my brain does without me.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm always thinking, like, you put so much pressure on yourself to learn and to think and to be conscious about what's going on. But when you, I study a lot about Taoism.
Yeah.
And Buddhism
uh-huh.
and all that cool stuff
it
and meditation. Right. So your brain does a lot when you're not being conscious about uh-huh. things, and compartmentalizing what you learned for the day mm-hmm. makes total sense.
Yeah. Because then it's just shoved back in there.
Yeah.
Because your body is there to keep your brain alive. That's the only reason that your body exists.
Yeah.
And why it does stuff automatically. But then if there's something else that's going to put you in danger, it's good to have that on the back burner so that, like, if a lion comes at you, you know to karate chop it next time.
Yeah, which is why brain's the highest it can be on your head.
Yeah.
Keep it away from the ground.
Yeah, away from those ants.
Yep.
They don't sleep.
They don't sleep. They're watching you.
All right, last one. You ready?
I'm ready. What number was it?
Big old number
3.
I think
we started with 4.
We started with 7.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter. Number X. This is the placebo effect. We all know the story.
I love this too.
Yeah, the placebo effect is crazy. Hopefully everyone kind of gets an idea about the placebo effect. Maybe you don't. Maybe I'm being condescending. So I'm just going to explain it very nicely now, which is that the placebo effect states that you could be told you're getting treatment for something and not be given treatment at all, and you will still be cured of what you were being treated for.
So, as Sabones like to say, cure all is cure nothing.
Uh-huh. Except for placebo.
Except for placebo is the only way that you could get around that kind of thing.
Yeah.
My biggest example and my biggest losing of listeners or people that do believe in this stuff is Epsom salt.
Oh, God.
Epsom salt's number one claim to fame by scientists
is
the placebo effect.
Yeah.
Because it's salt. It's man-made salt.
Yeah. It doesn't actually do anything.
No.
It's like the same thing with hydrogen peroxide, which Sawbones also did a good episode on. It doesn't do anything more that water wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. If someone was like, oh, but like it helps like clean out your ears or something, I'm like, well, so does water. So does a saline solution. Like, it's not going to do anything better. It's just that you think it does, so then it does. Ta-da.
Well, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
If my dog ingests an onion, I do give it hydrogen peroxide to throw up, and I can't do that with water.
That must be like a
biological level or oxidation.
Well, that's, you know what I mean? Deconstructing, going along with that, they've done placebo surgeries, which is crazy to me. So let's say that your knee is killing you, and you go in to have it operated on. They say that they're going to like replace your kneecap or whatever, put a metal one in there. And you come out of the operation and everything's all better. Well, studies have shown that they can put you under, telling you that they're going to do surgery on your knee, wake you up without doing anything, and your knee will feel better.
And you will get the bill.
Yeah. You'll get the...
And this is why people want to watch their surgeries, but they're told, oh, no, you can't, because it'll get put you in a shock or something.
But that's just fascinating. Your brain is amazing, and we don't know why. It's just like, hey, we're curing you, and your brain's like, okay, I'll do it too. Without you, the craziest thing I learned about placebos is that the placebo effect will work even if we know it's a placebo.
Wow.
If we're like, hey, here's a sugar pill, this is going to cure anxiety, but it's just sugar and it's not going to do anything, here you go, and you take it, and whatever the condition I said goes away.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Something that could be cured.
Yeah.
So this goes back to that our brains do a lot more than we think. Like the same thing with sleeping.
Yeah.
Our conscious brain and our subconscious brain communicate.
Yeah. But we don't know.
We don't know exactly how all the time, because that's the whole point of them being conscious and unconscious. How can you be conscious about your unconscious brain? Well, unless you're studying.
This might be for, sorry to interrupt you, but this might be for another episode that we don't even know if this subconscious exists, because we can't prove that it resides somewhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, go on.
I'm just saying, okay, let's use the word automated.
Yeah,
like
just your brain.
You're not thinking, oh, okay, heartbeat, okay, lungs breathe, okay, blink, okay, now swallow that spit.
Yeah.
You know? So things like that go on. But I think on some level, if you're told, I'm going to eat this, it's fake. Whatever part of your consciousness thinks, okay, heartbeat, okay, do this, is probably involved with that.
Yeah. Your brain's powerful.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's also the opposite of a placebo?
Uh-oh.
Can you guess what it's called?
Nocebo?
Yeah.
Really?
Cool. Yeah. I can't even... Let's workshop this, because I don't even know what a nocebo would do.
A nocebo? It would be like...
Like this is poison,
and then
but it's not actually poison, then you give it to them, then they die?
I guess they'd have to die.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it didn't, then that would be just the placebo effect not working.
Yeah, or like this pill is going to make your... I don't know.
And then you take it and your foot hurts.
Yeah, but like it didn't actually.
So are nocebos like ibuprofen, aspirin?
Yeah.
Things that work?
Maybe it's like the same thing as hysteria, which I know we've talked about before.
Isn't this also like on our show of 10 mysteries, something that you could just type into Google and find out what the nocebo?
I wanted to workshop it.
Do you have the fact in front of you?
No.
Oh, well, good. If you know what a nocebo is, without looking it up, tweet at us right now.
We'll put you in the drawing for a Trump or Glump sticker.
Yep. No. That's no. You got to do the other thing.
Yeah, you got to share.
But we will retweet it.
Yeah. You want to recap all 10 of those?
Yeah. So, like, this is by fact, by science, going to be our most dated episode.
Yeah. Like so 10 minutes.
Yep. So what can we say that will make this even more dated? Kellyanne Conway and microwaves. What else?
I already said that.
Okay.
Go on, Sonic date it. Mania is not out yet.
Yep. Nintendo Switch is like brand new and neither of us have it.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast comes out Friday.
I think that's the winner.
Yeah.
That's going to be like, wow, that was so long ago.
Yeah. Hey, man. What you doing over there?
Just recording a podcast.
Oh, well, let's imagine that I wanted to find out more about that podcast. Where could I go?
You could go to Stranger Still on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
You could go to at Stranger Still on Twitter.
That's right.
And you can go to the best website in the universe, according to...
Your mom?
Well, no.
Certified by my mother.
She still has... She has other favorites. StrangerStillShow.com.
Yeah, there you go. And sometimes we will put a call out there for listener questions based on the topic that we're recording for that day.
Yep. We have a lot of contests to build a listenership and to build our community up and build you up and make you feel real good.
John, the other week, if you shared our episode on fake news, he would put you in a fake news article.
Yep.
That was pretty fun.
We're also open to suggestions on things like that. We like doing Photoshops. I am a musician. Yeah. Nick is a graphic designer, artist.
And even if we don't put a call out for a listener question, sometimes people will post stuff that actually turns into a full episode. We've turned Jeff Tibbetts into a couple episodes a few times, and like the Thanksgiving one is solely based on listener questions and stuff. So feel free to interact with people on there.
Yeah.
Post your pictures of your dogs.
Please. It's been super exciting.
Yeah.
Nick posted a picture of me as his dog.
Yeah, D-A-W-G. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I put out a thing for listener questions, and I got a couple here. One's from Jenny S., and she basically wanted to know, why do we yawn? Which is a really good scientific mystery.
I almost can't hear that word without wanting to.
Well, that's what she said. In the thing, she said, I yawned while typing out the word yawn. Mm-hmm. Do you do that thing where someone will like yawn right at you, and you'll try your hardest not to yawn at them to not give them
Oh, but I feel it in my jaw.
Yeah, you're like... You do like the dog yawn, like your whole face opens up. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yep. So... We don't have an answer. We still don't have an answer.
I heard a theory in fifth grade, because like my fifth grade theory.
Yeah.
There was a science book that was on my teacher, Ms. Kempton's desk. Why aren't bubbles square or cubes? Why do we yawn? It just had like a bunch of like questions on the cover. And that's as far as I read into that book. But the cover of the book said, why do we yawn? I'm sorry. It might have been a little later than that I researched it. But it was someone said like, it's because your brain always... needs more oxygen to convert more energy, burn more, whatever.
So
when you're reminded, you're like, oh yeah, I want to breathe. I have to breathe more.
So part of it is kind of tied into that. One theory is that it's a way to get more oxygen into the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that stems from that is that when you're bored or tired, you don't breathe as deeply. So you're not getting as much oxygen. So yawning is a way to get more oxygen into your body. That's actually not a very good theory. Not a lot of people believe that anymore. I think the most common theories are that it's like a leftover tribal behavior as a way of letting people know it's okay to relax. So that's why it's contagious. So you start yawning to let everyone know that everything's okay.
And like it laughter.
Spreads through the, yeah, like laughter. It spreads through the tribe and everyone just knows it's okay. Mm-hmm. That's why it spreads to animals and spreads from animals.
Can I tell you the dumbest thing I heard?
Yep.
When you see someone yawn, part of your brain panics that there's less oxygen in the air. So it tells you to yawn.
I've heard that one too.
You've read that? Oh. Yeah.
That's pretty bad. I don't subscribe to that. The other thing is that it could be a way to build empathy with other people. Mm-hmm. It's been proven that reflecting someone else's behavior provides more empathy toward them, which is why like if you ever want to get on someone's good side, you nonchalantly replicate their behavior. Another idea is that it could just be vestigial. It served a purpose at one point through our evolutionary line, but just doesn't anymore. And as for why you yawn while typing out the word yawn, it's just that once you set up a behavior, whatever the reason is, it just becomes conditioned in your brain.
It could also be that you think that when you type yawn that you yawn, so you try not to, which makes you want to.
Yeah, because then your body's like, I need to get this out.
Yep.
Let me have this moment. Our other question comes from Melissa B., and she wanted to know, would our eyes really pop out of our heads if we sneeze with our eyes open? Have you ever tried to sneeze with your eyes open?
No, but I think my dad told me that if I was like making a funny face and hit me in the back of the head, it would get stuck that way.
Yeah.
Because that was on like Little Rascals or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's important to note that sneezes travel between 100 and 200 miles an hour.
Okay.
But your eyes are very securely put into your head. Like they're connected by very strong muscles and they've got some delicate nerves that need to be protected, so your body's going to do a really good job at making sure that those aren't damaged.
Yeah, like your skull.
So keep that in mind. Like
so
your skull.
I would love to work just my eye muscles out and get really buff and be able to like bulge them a little.
Well, that's interesting because the reason that your eyelids are there are to keep things out of your eyes, not to keep your eyes in. They aren't strong. Like, the muscles are around your eyes, not in front of them. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see.
Yeah.
So the idea that your weak eyelid could keep your eyes in is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, it's like, well, of course not. It's like throwing a golf ball through tissue paper. Like, if there's nothing holding that golf ball back, it's going to go through the tissue paper.
Yeah.
So then that begs the question, why do our eyes involuntarily shut?
Unless it's a Clorox brand tissue, because they are just so strong. And we just really need a retweet from a major company.
Run that ad that we're not certified to run. So one idea is that our body involuntarily shuts our eyes to try and keep the germs from that come out of our nose from getting into our eyes, which I think that's pretty
I like that.
Valid. Another theory is that it's just something left over that we no longer use. So there you go.
What would we have used it for?
That's the thing. If we knew, then it wouldn't be an unsolved mystery.
Ooh. I think I'm still John.
I think I'm still Nick.
I think this is...
Stranger Still?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And this is Stranger Still.